to Adventure in Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the Adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I'm here with Morton from Serenia. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing amazing. You know, what could be bad? We're sitting here and talking about some new music.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's not a bad way to spend our time.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. And I want to ask you a little bit, but before we get into the new music, how you've been doing, you know, you're in Norway, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
So what's things like over there in Norway? Because I know here in South Florida where I'm at, we're in the land of misfit toys.
Yeah, I mean, the situation is in Norway at the moment. I guess it's kind of similar as it is elsewhere in the world. We are still also kind of struggling with the pandemic. So yeah, it has been a strange way of life, actually, the last year, and a lot of frustration, you know, and not being able to go on tour and travel and all that. And so yeah, it's you know, kind of, we're trying to make the best out of the situation. And in my case, that's, you know, trying to spend most of my time in the studio and to be creative, composing lots of new material and so on, and just, you know, try to make use of the time in the best possible way.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't be out there playing, you might as well be writing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when the situation is what it is, we at least have to try to make something positive and productive out of the whole situation.
Yeah, and, you know, I think one of the most exciting things about the pandemic is getting new music and actually being able to enjoy it. You know, we were in such a realm of moving a million miles a minute, everybody, that I think that's the good thing about the pandemic is when somebody like you guys comes out with new music, you can actually sit down like the old days and just consume the whole album.
Yeah, I mean, that's I also feel, you know, kind of same way in a way, you know, there's so much negativity and so much bad coming with this pandemic for sure. But one of the things that I also found that I really do appreciate is the amount of extra time that I got now for composing and for also working with other musical projects that I didn't really have time for in the last 10 years or so. So, you know, there's at least something positive coming out of this whole situation. So, you know, I'm just trying to kind of, you know, keep myself busy, you know, and push forward. And I intend to release some new music with different projects as well this year.
I love it. That, you know, and you're right. Like when you just said 10 years, I mean, I'm thinking about it. You're no different than most artists out there because it's the world we live in nowadays, opposed to before the internet, before social media is. You know, bands are out there, you know, touring all the time. And basically the only time you have to really write music is maybe on a tour bus in between gigs, you know. And so I think we're going to get some of the best music we ever got out of this pandemic.
Yeah, that very much might be so, you know, because everybody definitely got really a lot of time now to really work on their albums, you know. So so maybe there will come some really classic albums out of this period.
Yeah, no doubt. And as far as yours, okay, so first of all, it's pretty cool that this is your 10th album. First of all, and second of all, huge kudos to Napalm Records because during this whole pandemic, I've seen that there's some record labels out there that there were projects that were supposed to be released and the record labels decided not to release it. And then you have somebody like Napalm Records that's releasing all kinds of amazing music, just like your new album dropping on the 12th.
Yeah, we are really excited about that, you know. It always feels really great to release a new album, and it's kind of a little bittersweet this time, I must admit, you know, due to the fact that we are not able to go on tour and perform the new songs live and all that, you know, and see the reactions from the fans and all this. So I guess we kind of have to stay patient for some time, and hopefully maybe at the end of the year or so, it's possible to start touring a little bit again.
Yeah, you know what I hope happens for you is you drop this music. People have so much time on their hands to listen over and over again that by time you're out there touring, the crowds will already be so familiar with the new music, they'll be singing along with you.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have a lot of time to really get to know the songs and the album, that's for sure.
So the name of the album, okay, so it's interesting. When I read the name of the album, okay, which is Riddles, Ruins, and Revelations, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, maybe they should have just named the album 2020, because that kind of sums up 2020 right there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, lyric-wise, I think the whole album just sums up 2020. It's probably one of the darkest albums I ever written. And I think I can partly give Corona the blame for that.
And there you go. Well, and you know, it's interesting, too. I found, like, a lot of other artists I interviewed, they wrote music before the pandemic that really it was almost like they were prophesizing, because a lot of it could have been written about the pandemic, but it was before they even knew there was one.
Yeah, it's a little bit the same for me, you know. I mean, most of the material was ready before the pandemic. So it was basically, you know, details and stuff like that I finished up after the pandemic broke out.
There you go. So you were prophetic as well. Look at that.
Yeah, maybe.
little did you know how real your words would be.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a very pessimistic person of nature or so.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm very optimistic about this album, though. It is badass. Anybody, you know, that's listening, they definitely need to check it out, because I checked out, you know, a couple of the songs you've released on YouTube already, and I got to tell you, it just made me want to get back in the pit.
I'm glad to hear that.
And your guys, what's cool about your music is it's pretty brutal, but it's harmonic at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things that we really, you know, work hard to achieve, you know, to combine the heaviness and the brutality with melodic elements and good atmospheres and feelings, and try to arrange our songs in a very dynamic way so that the listener kind of get taken on a journey and they don't really know what to expect around the next corner. So it's basically how we try to build our songs.
Yeah, and you know, I'm always in awe of artists like yourself that, okay, you're putting out a 10th album, and every time I always think, man, how do these artists just keep coming up with new, innovative things to write music on? You know, if you're not somebody that's doing it, you look at it kind of like, wow, like you would think you would run out of things to write about.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the music, the compositions, it's like it's just an ongoing thing. You know, I think my biggest problem is that I have too much ideas and I don't have time to realize them all. That's my biggest frustration in terms of composing. But with the lyrics, I begin to notice, you know, that it kind of gets a little bit harder with each album to find new interesting things to write about. And it's, you know, it's been, I don't know how many songs I've written over the years, but it's quite a lot, you know. And so that's maybe the most challenging thing for me. I think it's finding new subjects, basically.
See, and now, I agree with that, but it also surprises me at the same time what you said about the composition, because as you were saying it, I'm thinking to myself, like, when it comes to riffs, like, riffs would be so much in your head and your heart that I would find it so hard to not duplicate those in other songs. And I've heard other bands do it, you know, and they might not even notice it happen. So I'm always in awe of somebody like yourself that puts out new music like this, and it doesn't sound like the previous music. You know, it's not like a duplication or like we're doing in TV and movies nowadays, a basically bringing everything back. You know, it's still new and fresh.
Yeah, we always try to bring something new and fresh to the table with every album. And but yeah, it's definitely one of my biggest fears to, you know, kind of make a riff or something that sounds the same as something I composed before. And I also have like a huge bank of ideas of riffs and stuff. And maybe if I have a day in the studio where it's going a bit slower, so I maybe go and browse through the bank and search if I can find a great riff that I can start building on. And there was actually one time that I picked out a cool riff and started working on it. And when I was far into the arrangements and all that, I discovered that I already used the same riff on a different song. And I was like, holy shit. But luckily I was able to discover that before it ever got used on an album or something like that. So. But, you know, at this time, it is actually something that I worry a little bit about. But I certainly do a lot of checking before, so to avoid that it will actually happen.
See, now you're smart because you just proved my point. It's like, because it's automatic sometimes, you know. When you're doing anything, I don't care what you do for a living, whether it's music or you're an accountant. You know, after years and years of doing it, most things are just automatic. Even like with me with radio, like as soon as the mic turns on, it's just automatic. I don't even have to think about it. It's not like I try to do an interview. It just happens.
Yeah, yeah. I feel the same way. And even also with the interviews now, it's like you and me talking now, it's kind of like a conversation and it flows automatically. Sometimes when I do email interviews, for example, and I'm reading the questions and then I have to start typing it, and it gets a different kind of thing. And sometimes I can sit, you know, for 5 minutes just to think of an answer before I start typing. And so I always really preferred doing interviews in this way, where it's more like a conversation, because it's the answers also will become a lot more natural than with email, for example. Then you sit and overthink things and you answer, and it's like, yeah, it's not really the same thing, I believe.
No, I agree with you. I don't like doing the email interviews. I was asked to do one once as a favor, and it turned out okay. You know, actually, it was funny because it was, you know, basically, it did turn into a conversation, a back and forth, but that's a rarity. I was lucky enough that the person on the other end was like that too. You don't know. But it's kind of hard not to have a conversation when you're verbally doing an interview like we are now, you know, and there's no misinterpretation, like, because you have no tonality in email. And to me, doing the email interviews, even as the interviewer, it's like I'm taking a test, like I'm in school.
Yeah, it's definitely the better way to do interviews, I think. And maybe sometimes, you know, many journalists told me before too, you know, and they ask a question, for example, and I write an answer by email, and then they read the answer and they think, oh, I should have asked him this question next, you know, to follow up, kind of thing. And exactly. That's also a possibility that you don't have when doing interviews by email. So I always preferred it this way. And also, you know, typing interviews, it tends to take longer time, even if you sometimes you get the same question and you might copy and paste, but then you have to search around to find that exact same answer. And it just seems to take a whole lot more time doing email interviews. And I also think that the answers doesn't become as good and kind of natural as they do in an interview like this.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And you hit on a couple points that are big for me, because, you know, when you said the copy and paste, like there's people doing the email interviews that's all they're doing with the questions. And, you know, the reason I do interviews the way I do, where it's a conversation, is I let the interview take a life of its own. Like, before we started this interview, did I ever think of we were going to talk about email interviews? No. And that wouldn't have happened if you just had a script, you know, and I think it makes it more fun, more interesting for the people listening or reading the interview if it's like that, because, you know, who wants to listen to an interview that the same, it's the same answers, same questions, no different than the artists, you know? Like, how many times can you ask the same dumb questions that have been asked over and over again? Like, let's find something new and passionate and exciting that listeners will be into.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely also one of the important things with doing interviews like this, is that you will get, even if it would be the same question, you will still get a unique answer to it, you know, because nobody is listening. Nobody is remembering exactly what the answer to this question, if they got it somewhere earlier, you know, at a different interview. So they will always kind of, you know, give you a unique answer, and that's, it gets more interesting for everybody, I think, both for the journalist, for the artist, and for all the guys that is reading this.
No doubt.
Or listening to it, like in this case.
100%. A 1,000,000%, I agree. And you get to find out what somebody's personality is. I know for me as an interviewer, when I'm interviewing them, it's not about the answers they're giving me. It's about how they're answering it. You kind of get a feel for their personality. And that's what leads me to other questions, not a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly.
So how does everybody connect with you guys on social media, on the web, get your music, all that good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, so far we released 2 singles. We released our first single, Addiction Number 1, I think about a month ago or so. It's a song on the album that is, you know, I mentioned a bit earlier that we always like to bring something new and fresh to the table with every album. And this first single is definitely that in all its aspects. I think it's a song that is quite something that we never have released before. You know, it's a very untypical Serenia song, very new, very different compared to our previous work. And so we were kind of, you know, expecting mixed feedback on that one, especially because, you know, not everybody, you know, are kind of open for such a big change, you know. We are all different in that way. We all have different preferences and so on. And some fans, you know, they prefer that we stay very loyal to our style and sound. And some fans, they want something different, something new each time. So when releasing that first single, we were definitely prepared for mixed reactions. And we expected people to either love it or to hate it. And that's pretty much what happened. So, you know, when we released the second single, then we picked a song that was more typical Serenia song. You know, it was still a mother version of our sound, you know. But, you know, it had all the typical elements and all the variations, all the different voices and so on. So that one was definitely more appealing to the most of our fans, so to say. So, but yeah, I think with every album, we try to bring a little bit for everybody. You know, we try to make an album that is really diverse, with a lot of different things in there, a lot of variation between all the songs, so that all the fans, you know, can find songs on there that they really, really like. You know, whether they prefer our early stuff, whether they prefer our last years, or whether they're wanting something completely new and different.
You know, I have an interesting story about the 2 songs, because I love both of them. Here's what happened with me. Okay, so I was also, there was another band I was looking at interviewing that they kind of, it's funny because they're former members and current members of Yes, and, you know, they have like a Yes type of sound, you know, a progressive, old school progressive rock sound. And then I listened to Addiction Number 1 or saw the thing out, and it was so weird to me because I was watching and listening, and I was like, wow, that sounds like metal combined with Yes. And that was a good compliment, because it was like, it was definitely brutal metal, but then it had so much melodic parts to it that reminded me of a band like Yes. And then I went to We Come to Ruins, and that was the one that made me want to go in the pit.
yeah, that's a really quite heavy song, and it's one of those songs that I'm really looking forward to to playing live as well. I think it will work out really cool live. You know, it's a really bombastic and energetic, powerful song. So it's going to be a lot of fun performing that live.
Yeah, you should definitely have a wall of death during that song.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that will happen. Maybe it will be our first time. I think we didn't have that yet.
Oh well, there you go. It could be your first one ever. Like, there you go. Yeah. That's cool. I love it. And so people can also, you know, like you on Facebook. Just go to find Serenia. It's not that difficult. And then your Instagram is Serenia Band Official. So everybody can go to facebook.com/Serenia, or they can go to Instagram to Serenia Band Official. Any other things you want to share with the listeners, final comments that we haven't covered already?
Yeah, you know, our album is coming out on the 12th of February, that we are really, you know, eager to get back on the road, to get back touring, you know, and we really cross our fingers, hoping that this pandemic will be under control, the sooner the better, so that we can get back to touring, you know, and really looking forward to coming back to the U.S. as well, and finally play some more shows over there.
Yeah, I hope so. I can't wait to see you guys live. I know it'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be brutal, and to me, brutal and fun are synonymous.
Yeah, that's a good combo.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, everybody make sure, check it out. Riddles, Ruins, and Revelations. It'll be released on the 12th of February via Napalm Records. And get it, study it, be ready for this live show so that we could all sing along.
Thank you for listening to the Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.